This is Andy Griffith. Listen to this.
And you know what this is? It's a story about my father, the baseball announcer. It isn't everyone who can announce a baseball game, you know. It calls for a person who knows the game well and has studied its many ramifications since toddler days. I mean, being an announcer is one thing, but being a baseball announcer is really something special. Anyway, in 1934, just after Prohibition, my father worked as a studio announcer for a station known as REC, properly called WREQ. It was in a large city, so large it's still the grand dame of the Midwest. And it still has its quota of radio stations and rivers, grand opera companies, and theaters. And it's represented by baseball teams in both the American and National Leagues. Back there in the 30s, of course, it also had its quota of gangsters. Let's call the city Bayhead. Not because that's its real name, but because it's a real story. I don't want my father, who told it to me, to end up in a morgue. You see, he could get shot for what happened. It all began when my father finished a studio broadcast. And since I've always been told that I sound like him, it must have sounded something like this. This is your announcer, Blue Anchor, speaking from Bayhead's WREQ. We now switch you to the post room of the Bartley Hotel and music for your dining and dancing pleasure by the Auburn Five. Take it away. Oh, hello, Brad.
Hi, Blue.
What's a big shot like Braddock Croton doing around here?
I've been with the Norma Beer people and Mr. Oldwick all day. By the way, he wants to see you.
Oldwick wants to see me?
He's got a surprise for you, Blue.
You mean, like I'm fired, huh?
No, not that. A real surprise.
The program manager, Mr. Oldwick, has a surprise for me?
Come on. He sent me to get you.
And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. Five nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The Baseball Announcer, by Ted Sherdeman. Our stars, Robert Towers and Frank Campanella.
My father felt pleased to be in the company of Braddock Croton, the fair-haired boy of WREQ, who announced both the at-home and out-of-town baseball games of the Bayhead Beavers of the National League for Norma Beer. My father was as pleased as the Brewers that Brad had been invited to their training camp by the Beavers. It was really something when a baseball team came to look on the broadcaster of their games as one of their own. Brad Croton was good, and good for the game. My father told me that when he and Brad arrived at the program manager's office, Mr. Oldwick greeted them most warmly.
Well, well, well. I see Braddock found you okay.
Yes, Mr. Oldwick.
Well, well, well. I suggest you be seated, Blue.
Yes, sir.
Well, you haven't told him yet.
No, I left that pleasantry for you, Mr. Oldwick.
Well, well, well. Blue, what do you know about the Titans?
The Bayhead Titans, sir?
Yes, 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 the same.
Well, nothing much, sir, except they're in the American League.
I told you, Blue is a Beavers fan.
Oh, yes, sir, ever since I came to Bayhead from Omaha, sir.
Well, 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 can you stand a surprise?
I think so, sir.
Well, 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 Braddock and I have spent the day with the Norma Beer people.
So he told me, sir.
Oh, stop saying sir all the time, Blue.
Yes, sir. I mean, all right, oh, okay.
You'll have to get over that, because soon you'll be as besieged by autograph seekers as our mutual friend Brad Croton is.
I will, sir?
What did I tell you about saying sir?
Oh, yeah.
You make me sound like your grandfather.
I'm sorry. Can I call you Mr. Oldwick?
Absolutely.
Okay, Mr. Oldwick. You were saying?
What was I saying? Oh, yes. Well, 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 I have sold you to the Norma Beer people to announce the Titans games.
Me?
Both the at-home and the out-of-town games.
What?
Well, well, well. Pretty important news, eh?
You'll have to become a Titans fan now, Blue.
Me? A baseball announcer? Wow.
I've made arrangements for you to do the out-of-town games from the offices of the Bayhead Bulletin. The in-town games will be done from the baseball park in a special broadcast booth built by the management.
Oh, my goodness.
I said he had a surprise for you, didn't I?
Boy, oh, boy, I expected nothing like this.
Oh, you'll be given a press card for the windshield of your car by the Bulletin.
You mean I can park any place?
Any place your heart desires.
Just like yours, huh, Brad?
Just like mine. time.
You'll be broadcasting the games from a station out of town.
You mean not on REC? I mean WREQ?
No. How I hate those call letters. I wish the FCC would do something. Where were we?
You were telling Blue about broadcasting the games from a station out of town.
Oh, yes. So we don't interfere with Braddock's reportage.
We'll be on at the same time, Blue.
We will?
So, I've made arrangements for an affiliate to carry your broadcast, Blue. The home games will come from the park, and the out-of-town games, which you'll have to fake, of course, will be done from the offices of the Bulletin.
Oh, I see, Mr. Oldwick.
And your sports review will be carried on the affiliate also, but you'll broadcast them from a studio here. In other words, you won't have to move your place of residence, Blue.
Boy, oh boy.
And you open the season, Blue. The Titans play Clinton on the 15th.
Which gives us less than a month to prepare. Now, step one. Go across the street and have your photograph taken.
Okay.
Norma Beer is going to plaster its outlets and trucks with it. And a slogan, follow Blue Anchor with the Titans. You like that?
Oh, just fine, sir. I mean fine, Mr. Oldwick.
Norma Beer will send over its commercials at the beginning of the week. I'll show you how to use them at the end of the inning.
Do I get a raise? I mean in salary, Mr. Oldwick?
No, indeed. The honor of being chosen as the Titans announcer is more valuable than any raise.
Yeah, I guess it is. By the way, Brad, what's an inning?
What's an inning?
You know baseball, don't you?
Oh, sure. I used to play catch with my father.
Well, oh, my goodness.
Mr. Oldwick!
He's fainted. Mr. Oldwick! What do you mean you used to play catch with your father?
Well, I did. I caught and he pitched.
Where am I?
You're right here in my arms, Mr. Oldwick.
What happened?
You fainted.
Why?
It was right after Blue said he used to play catch with his father.
Oh!
Now look what you've done.
I didn't do anything.
He's fainted again.
Well, you did all the talking.
Come to, Mr. Oldwick. Please, come to. Maybe we should get a doctor. No, he's coming around. Mr. Oldwick.
Oh, what have I done?
You fainted again.
You get out of here.
Yes, sir.
Can you sit up, Mr. Oldwick?
I guess so. Oh, what have I done? Why didn't you stop me?
Stop you?
Why did you let me sell that nincompoop to the Norma Beer people?
I thought you knew what you were talking about.
Every citizen of Bayhead knows baseball. How can I tell the Norma Beer people that we found the only one who doesn't, and we hired him?
I don't know, Mr. Oldwick.
For a full season yet. Oh, I may faint again.
Oh, please don't, Mr. Oldwick.
Oh, I don't dare tell him.
No, Mr. Oldwick.
I don't dare, do I?
No, Mr. Oldwick.
Can you train him, Braddock?
Who, Mr. Oldwick?
Oh, you know who! That guy who used to play catch with his father.
Well, I can try.
In the meantime, we'll share this little secret, huh?
Yes, sir.
And, oh, and he's supposed to do a sports review, too. Oh, my goodness.
You know something, Mr. Oldwick? I'm getting sick of this.
So, my father was taught to announce baseball by Brad Croton. I use the word taught very loosely because baseball announcing can't be learned in a few weeks, even with a superior teacher. It's a very special art, as my father found out back there in 1934. For the out-of-town games, he sat at a small table next to a teletype machine. Beside him was the scorebook, the Norma Beer commercials, and some mimeograph worksheets showing a diamond with the names of each position on the field written in, so he could identify by name each player who caught or fielded a ball. There was also a Chinese woodblock, a drumstick, and a turntable with an assortment of records of various crowd noises. Brad had arranged for the wire service to send over the teletype the previous year's out-of-town games with the Bayhead Beavers, so my father could practice faking the radio version of the game. From here on, by the way, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story in my father's own words, just the way he told it to me.
All right, now look, Blue.
Yeah.
You have to watch the teletype machine all the time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There's another foul ball.
Here's the pitch, and another foul ball.
Use your crowd record.
Oh, okay.
Color it up. Have the catcher try to catch the foul for an out.
It doesn't say that on the teletype.
It doesn't matter what it says. You're supposed to provide some excitement for the listeners. Okay. Now, use a crowd record and ad-lib about the catcher's attempt to make the out.
Oh, all right, okay.
Not that record. Here, try this one.
And the catcher tries to...
Hit the woodblock.
Before the record or after?
Before. Not so hard. First time it sounded like a home run.
Oh, now the record? Another foul ball. And I'm looking for the name of the catcher.
It's right there in front of you on the diagram of the diamond.
Where?
The other one. The Beavers are at bat.
Oh, yeah. And the catcher, Millbrook, makes a dash to catch it. And it, where does the ball go?
I don't care. Right or left field or against the backstop. It's up to you. All we get on the teletype is that it's a foul ball. All right, the batter is out at first anyway. Now take out the crowd noise.
Everything happened so fast.
You're supposed to enter what happened in your scorebook.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see. Milford out at first, and at second to first.
Not Milford. He was the catcher.
Oh, yeah. I see. Okay.
Okay. All right, now put down 4-3.
Okay, 4-3.
You got it in the wrong place.
Oh, yeah. it should go there.
Oh, boy.
You know what's wrong?
What?
I'm supposed to announce in the American League. These are all National League games.
What difference? Baseball's baseball. And you'll never learn it.
The day finally arrived for me to announce my first home game. I arrived at the Bayhead Stadium, the home park for the Titans. The press sign in the windshield of my car had worked wonders for me. I not only drove to the park like a madman, but parked in the player's lot. Then a uniformed usher took me in hand, and I followed him up the long ramps at the back of the stadium, through the press box where the sports reporters looked at me curiously, and past the other broadcasters' booths, and finally the usher showed me mine. It was gotten into by going down a small ladder that had two levels and was spacious. The field engineer, whom I didn't know, had set up the equipment and mic on the counter. He greeted me most warmly.
I'm your engineer, Chester Fanwood.
Oh, glad to meet you, Chester. Well.
Quite a view, huh?
Oh, wow, right above and behind home plate.
Blue, you must have pulled some strings to get such a prize booth.
I'm going to do the out-of-town games, too.
I know. You're the only broadcaster to do both. But this booth, wow.
Well, to work. The Titans versus the Clinton Scalpers.
I figure Clinton to take all four games. How about you, Blue? You want
to
bet?
Oh, I'm a Titan fan now, Chester. It wouldn't be fair to bet against my own team. Why does he do that when he's only warming up?
Who?
Glasheen in the bullpen. He looks like he's in a dice game.
What do you mean?
Well, he keeps blowing on the ball.
Oh, Glasheen's a spitball pitcher.
That's illegal.
Well, it is now, but spitballers who were in the big leagues before are still allowed.
What's he use?
Slippery elm.
Ugh.
It makes the pitch look like a pipe light coming at you.
What does?
The spit.
Ugh. It was a pretty good game, except for the guy the Titans had playing in center field. He ran forward for one fly ball, then backwards, then forward again. Yeah, but the ball had already landed. The next fly ball he tried to catch hit him right on top of the head. The left and right fielders tried to cover for him, but he waved them off, determined to make the catch, and smackle. He hit him on the head and went for three bases. Why did the Titans leave him in?
Because he's a good hitter. He's 4-for-4 so far.
Everybody standing up. There must be a fight someplace. As soon as I find it, I'll bring you a blow-by-blow description.
Psst, hey, Blue. Psst.
Just a moment. My engineer may have spotted something. What is it?
It's just a seventh inning stretch.
False alarm, ladies and gentlemen. I'll find out what's happened. You can always depend on Blue Anchor. Titans won the game 3-2, so naturally they didn't play the end of the ninth inning. My fans are entitled to a full nine innings of baseball, and I intend to see they get it.
But the Titans won!
Just winning isn't enough. We're all entitled to nine full innings of baseball, and I intend to be here all night, if necessary, finding out why you've been gypped.
I was gypped when they gave me this assignment.
What are you doing?
I'm dismantling the equipment.
You took my microphone.
That's part of the equipment.
about then and there that I would get another engineer. Then I remembered that though I'd plugged Norma Beer at the beginning of the game, I'd made no mention of them at the end of each inning as I was supposed to have done. Well, they'd understand, what with the excitement and all. You see, it was my first real baseball game, and the Titans versus the Clinton Scalpers was the first time I'd ever seen 9 players on both sides. Well, anyway, as I started down the ramp to my car, I was stopped by a man. I started to reach for a pencil to give him an autograph.
Hey, you Blue Anchor?
Yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're the guy in the picture. Come along.
He took hold of my arm with a hand that had only a thumb and first finger. I winced because the thumb and finger went right to the bone. You're hurting me.
You'll come peaceable-like to the car.
Well, I've got my own car.
You ride in ours.
He took hold of my arm again and led me to a waiting black sedan. There was a driver and a guy in the back seat when he pushed me into the car.
This is him, the guy who announced that ball game.
Nobody said anything, not the driver or nobody. I noticed the man in the back seat had a revolver in a shoulder holster, so I didn't say anything either. We drove through the South Bayhead traffic and finally arrived at a corner store whose windows were all whitewashed from inside so nobody could see into the place.
All right, get out.
Yes, sir.
Park the car in the back. Inside the store.
Yes, sir. I felt like I was in a Warner Brothers gangster movie. The place had one snooker table in the middle of the room. The 3 players stopped and stared at me. Each not only had a pool cue, but 2 were wearing shoulder holsters, and the 3rd had a revolver stuck in the front of his pants.
This is the guy. Right through that door there. This is him, Spike.
Seated behind a desk with his feet propped up on it was a tall man. He wore gray spats, striped pants, a gray pearl-button double-breasted vest, and a fuzzy gray fedora hat. I recognized him from the pictures I'd seen in the newspapers. Spike Pelucci. You see, this was just after Prohibition, and gangsters were still rife in Bayhead. Pelucci was one of them. He looked at me a long time and said something I'd never heard before.
You stink.
What?
I said you stink.
Yes, sir.
You're going to broadcast all the Titan games?
Yes, sir.
Not unless you get better, you ain't.
Yes, sir.
You got a scorebook?
Oh, yes, sir. Someplace. Here it is, sir.
Yeah, maybe we'll find out now what happened in the first inning. Why you got Kearney numbered 5? He's a shortstop.
Well, that's how Brad Croton numbers them. He taught me how to score.
Good announcer, but a lousy teacher. The short's number 6. Army, get the blackboard. You're going to have to teach this clown about announcing baseball.
Like I keep telling you, baseball announcing is very special. But so are baseball fans. I soon found out that the Bayhead Beavers fans, for instance, were fickle for the most part. But Bayhead Titans fans were convinced their team didn't get the breaks, even if they lost 20-0. I learned something else, too. That Spike Pelucci and his hoods couldn't go to the ballpark because it was another gang's territory, and they weren't about to risk any kind of run-in with their rivals. It was just a fact of life in 1934. But Spike Pelucci was a dedicated Titans fan, depending on the radio for in-town progress of the game and the daily newspapers for out-of-town results. Since I'd been ballyhooed by Norma Beer as the announcer to follow, Pelucci was bent on following me. That's why he sent for the big blackboard on wheels.
Here it is, Spike. Where do you want it?
Right there's okay, Army.
Okay. Army? That's his name?
Yeah, want to make something out of it?
Oh, no, sir. Just curious, sir.
He was in World War I.
Yeah, that's why I lost the fingers.
That's why we call him Army.
My real name's Florence, because my mother wanted a girl. I prefer Army.
What's the blackboard for?
It's for hijacking jobs. Now it's for learning baseball our way. Now let's see now. We write down the positions and the names of the players.
But I've got baseball diamonds mimeographed already. Here, I'll show you. There. The only number I had wrong was for the shortstop in my scorebook.
If you know so stinking much, what happened in the first inning with all the others that followed? And why do you keep looking at your wristwatch?
Well, I've got to be back to Rec. I mean WREQ to do a sports review, sir.
How come Rec?
Oh, the sports review will come over the affiliate, but I'm supposed to use the Rec studios. I couldn't get to the affiliate in time to do it, especially on doubleheader days.
This guy is planning to do doubleheaders?
Relax, Army. Now pay attention, Blue.
What about the sports review?
I'll have a car drive you. Now here's the first thing.
I got my first lesson in announcing baseball their way. When time got really critical, the big sedan drove me back to Bayhead Stadium. I got in my own car, drove to Rec, and never said a word about Spike Pelucci. I'd been told not to. And when you're told anything by people with guns, you do what they say or you get your head blown off. As the season went on, I got to be a pretty good baseball announcer. Oh, I was no Red Barber, Bill Stern, or Brad Croton, but I was acceptable, at least to Spike Pelucci. After each of the early games, Army be waiting for me when I got onto the ramp, and off we go to see Spike again. One day, when Army didn't show up, I even phoned to see why he was late.
Army ain't here.
Who's this? Spike?
Yeah.
Well, I expected Army to be waiting for me.
I didn't send him.
Well, how come?
Because you did all right this game.
I did?
You did.
Gee.
What'd you say?
Well, I just said, gee, I did all right.
There's always tomorrow, kid.
The Titans score another three runs, making it 10-1 on a homer to right by Goshen, the third baseman of the Titans. And it's only the second inning.
Mr. Anchor?
Coming to bat now is Deal. The first pitch to him is wide, ball one. Yes?
Do you mind if Mr. Dillinger and his friend share the booth with you?
Past the usher, I could see the face of the nation's leading gangster and his anonymous friend. What was I to say? To begin with, my booth was not only the best seat in the ballpark, but I wasn't about to argue with John Dillinger. Mr. Pelucci?
Hmm?
I've got a confession to make.
He ain't a priest, Blue.
Oh, I know, but I have to tell him, Army.
So get it off your chest.
I let John Dillinger and a friend sit in my broadcast booth today.
His friend playing hooky from music school?
Well, he was carrying a violin case, yes. I was asked by an usher to let him in, and I had no choice. Mr. Pelucci?
Yeah, yeah. Now, what happened after Deal came to bat in the second inning? Your scorebook here doesn't show anything at all.
I had to tell you, sir.
So you told me. I want to know what happened to Deal.
Oh, he struck out.
Struck out? Then you put a K here, see?
I know.
A K for a strikeout. What happened to you today?
I told you, I had this visitor.
Oh, him. Dillinger's a friend of mine. No problem there.
Oh, well, you can come to the park yourself.
Not while I have you on the radio. Thanks to my efforts, you're getting to be pretty good.
Blue, what happened in the sixth inning, huh?
Well, I guess I made a mistake, Army. I didn't remember the ground rules.
You want to take our car or your own?
I'll take mine.
See you at the store, okay?
Okay.
You understand about the ground rules?
Oh, yeah, Spike. It's to make sure we get some runs.
Yeah, but you knew that. What was wrong with you today?
Oh, I had a bad time yesterday evening with Mr. Oldwick, and I didn't sleep at all.
What'd you say his name was?
Well, Mr. Oh, forget it. Just one of those things.
Mr. Who, Army?
He said Oldwick.
Please, please, forget it. It was nothing.
Nothing? You call lousing up our broadcasts nothing?
The next day it rained, so there was no ball game. But Mr. Oldwick called a meeting of the entire staff of Rec.
Well, well, well. Nice of so many to come out.
What's this all about, Mr. Oldwick?
Well, I have an announcement to make, Brad.
An announcement? Well, why not put it on the bulletin board?
Well, because I wanted to see you all when I said what I have to say. Now, will you please quiet down? Well, I've been with station WREQ for, well, since it was founded. A good many years, a good many. Well, but the time has come, as the walrus said. You don't find that funny?
Oh, yeah.
I, I am going to a radio station in Des Moines, Iowa.
From Bayhead?
From old Rick?
Now, nobody can talk me out of it. I am so bent on joining the station in Des Moines, I am leaving tonight.
Tonight?
Why so soon?
I just wanted to thank you personally for all you've done for me while I was here.
But, Mr. Oldwick, who's going to take your place?
Well, I don't know. But whoever takes my place, may he prosper as well as I. I have spoken to the owners this morning, and they understand. So, now, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
Now, I can't prove that Spike Pelucci had anything to do with Mr. Oldwick's leaving, but I keep thinking it was my inadvertent remark that did it. Why would a man who is a well-thought-of program director leave a big station like REC in Bayhead for a little station in Des Moines, Iowa? Oh, I feel really bad about it. If Mr. Oldwick is still around, I'm sorry it happened, really sorry. I kept seeing the situation in my head. One of Pelucci's hoods, or even Spike himself, telling Mr. Oldwick,
"You've got exactly 24 hours to be out of town, or you end up in the morgue as another unsolved crime."
But where will I go?
Be out of town in 24 hours or else. You got that clear, Oldwick?
Yes, sir.
Make sure or you end up dead as a mackerel.
Oh, yes, sir.
I hope I'm never involved in that kind of a situation. Des Moines? After Bayhead? Oh, my goodness.
Andy Griffith again, and here's the fourth act of our story.
Well, the out-of-town games finally got to be a bit easier for me, except for my quarters in the Bayhead Bulletin's offices. I was assigned a room, well, not much more than a closet, really. And instead of a teletype machine, a copy boy brought me slips of paper on which were typed the progress of the game. Just another fact of life in 1934. The trouble was, the copy boy wasn't nearly as reliable as the teletype machine. Where is that peanut-headed copy boy? The slammer's pitcher throws the new ball back to his catcher, refusing to pitch with it. Umpire throws him another ball. This is satisfactory, I guess. Polonia rubs it up. Now he's back on the mound. Gets set. Glances at first where Nesko is taking a fairly long lead. Throws to first in an attempt to get Nesko, but it's not successful. Where's that copy boy? Here's the pitch to Goshen. But it doesn't matter where the slammer pitcher puts him. They're fouled off. There's another in the stands.
Here's the rest of the inning, Mr. Blue.
Where have you been?
I got other things to do, you know.
I've got a baseball game to announce. Give me that.
Big deal. Who listens?
Here's the pitch, and Goshen is called out on strikes. That ends the Titans' eighth inning. The stands are applauding the slammer's pitcher for striking out Goshen. Oh, I mean... No. There it is. Let's see now. One hit, no runs, no errors, one man left on base. The score, Titans 2, Slammers 5. Now for a word from Norma Beer. I'll tell you who listens. My friend Spike Pelucci and his pal Army. That's who. And he's gone. Do you enjoy beer that is flavorsome? I tell you, Mr. Pelucci, sometimes the copy boy lets me wait around and wait around. That's why Goshen fouled all those pitches in the eighth inning. I don't know whether he actually fouled that many or not, but I had to make up something. I tell you, remembering to hit that woodblock for fouls and hits, play the right crowd record, keep up with the paperwork, remember to do the commercials after every inning...
You blow the crowd noises.
Well, due to that copy boy keeping me waiting.
Up to the crowd noises, I was enjoying myself.
Oh, I couldn't help it, Spike. It was the copy boy's fault.
As a copy boy, he has other things to do, you know.
Why don't they give me a teletype machine? I was trained to watch a teletype. All that creep hands me is little slips of paper, like one of those things they have in a stockbroker's office. I can read them all right, but not if they're not delivered. Can you do something about it, Spike?
I make it a point not to interfere with the press. All I need is for the Bulletin to get down on me. You'll have to put up with it, Blue, like it or not.
I didn't remind Spike Pelucci that Mr. Oldwick had taken a job with a little radio station in Des Moines, like it or not. The new program manager wasn't impressed that Brad Croton and I were baseball announcers and also broadcast sports reviews. He put us in just as straight announcers with duties at rec. Me, a baseball announcer with staff duties. I remember, oh, how I remember that campaign when the incumbent mayor was running against a reformer. Now, those were the days when anybody running for office had to submit his speech to a radio station before he made it. The station lawyers went over it word for word, taking out this or that, and finally handing it to an announcer, who was not only to read a disclaimer at the beginning of a broadcast, but had to follow the speech on paper while the candidate was giving it. If the candidate deviated by so much as one word, he was to be cut off, and the announcer was to go to a fill-in program. Now, those were our instructions from the attorneys and from the program managers. Well, I had the mayor's speech all okayed by the rec attorney, and the mayor was to make it at 11:30 that night from the banquet room of the Beechwood Hotel. So, there I was, in the basement studio of rec, in the Bayhead Towers building, alone, except for the engineer on duty in the master control room next door. Station WREQ in Bayhead now presents His Honor, the Mayor of Bayhead, speaking to you from the banquet room of the Beechwood Hotel. Station WREQ is not responsible for, nor does it take any stand whatsoever on the speech scheduled at this time. We take you now to the Beechwood Hotel and the mayor.
It's our mayor!
Yeah, get that reporter! What he's looking for!
Seek a witness or any other election in this town. He's got another thing coming. A new reformer can unseat me, right?
You're right, Mayor! You're right!
Oh, good boy!
My course was clear. It had been laid out by the attorney and by management. Station WREQ in Bayhead now takes you to the Alpine Room for music from Ewan Midvale and his orchestra. I ran to the master control room to show the speech to the engineer, Chester.
I heard what you did.
But did you hear what the mayor said? He didn't say anything that's even close to what the attorney okayed. Hey, what are you doing? Why are you pulling up your shirt?
Look at that. Look at the scars on my chest. You want to see the rest of me?
No.
That's what they did to me on account of a tube burned out in the remote equipment last year. All on account of one lousy tube.
Well, hey, where are you going?
Any place. But away from here.
Well, you can't leave me alone in this place. I don't know what to do with all this equipment.
Well, figure it out, bright boy. You're the one who cut the mayor.
Wait. Oh, he's gone. What'll I do? I'm coming. Hello? WREQ.
Who cut off the speech by the mayor?
Well, I wouldn't know. I'm just the janitor.
We're gonna find out and fix that Patsy's wagon for good.
Hello? They're gonna fix that Patsy's... Oh, my gosh. Oh, what'll I do? Let's see. Call the WREQ attorney. Yeah, that's what I'll do. Let's see. Here's the number right on the speech.
Hello?
Is this Mr. Lime Street?
It could be. Who's calling?
Oh, this is Blue Anchor. You know, from radio station WREQ?
Yes.
Did you hear the mayor?
Yes, I heard.
Well, I have the type speech right here, and there's nothing like what he said in it. And the engineer's just left. I'm all alone here.
Good night.
Just a minute. Mr. Lime Street? Mr. Lime Street? Hello? He hung up on me. Oh, gosh, what am I gonna do?
Hello?
Spike?
Who's this?
Oh, it's Blue Anchor.
Hey, you ought to be in bed resting up for the game you gotta do tomorrow.
Spike, did you hear the mayor?
What there was of him.
I'm the one who cut him off.
You cut the mayor?
It's a long story, but I just got a threatening phone call. Somebody's really put out because I cut off the mayor.
I can understand why. Is there some freight cars alongside the river, ain't there?
On the siding?
Yeah, right next to the river.
Well, I guess so. There always are, but what has that got to do with...
Get out of that place now and go and hide.
In a freight car?
I'll send Army in a car down for you.
And that's what I did. I found an empty freight car and hid in it. I just clambered in when I heard a car drive up. I tried to say, "Army," but no words would come out. It's a good thing they didn't.
Nobody around at the radio station, and music coming from a speaker, but nobody around, nobody.
I don't know how long I stayed in that freight car, but it seemed like all night. It was only about 30 minutes later, actually, that I heard another car. I held my breath as the steps grew closer. Then I heard...
Blue! Hey, Blue! Where are you? It's Army!
Oh, I was never so glad to see anyone in my entire life, before or after. I stayed at the store with the whitewashed windows all that night and until I had to go to the Bulletin to do a Titans out-of-town game. I tried to thank Spike Pellucci for saving me, but all he'd say was...
We're not letting nobody screw up our baseball games, not even the mayor. Spike Pellucci, Your Honor.
Oh, yes, Pellucci.
Well, you won the election.
I said I would, Spike.
In spite of your last speech being cut off from REC, WREQ.
That was a good speech, too.
Except you changed the beginning. That's why you were cut off, Your Honor.
Oh, well, a little too much of the stuff that cheers. Well, that's no reason to be cut off.
You know how radio stations are, Your Honor.
I know how they are. Good grief, this is 1934. Just because a politician makes a few alterations in his speech is no reason to cut him off. Especially when they make you pay for the time in advance.
I understand you're planning to get that back.
Well, you bet your boots and I will. It's either that or WREQ goes out of business. I'm not without my supporters on this.
Well, as mayor of Bayhead, you should have no trouble making him give it.
None at all, Spike. None at all.
Nice of you to see me, Your Honor.
Glad you dropped by, Spike.
I'm not really privy as to how Spike Pellucci calmed down whoever was going to fix my wagon in that mixed-up year of 1934, but... I've often thought that if Pellucci and his gangsters hadn't taught me how they wanted their baseball announced and weren't such ardent Bayhead Titans fans, well, I'd have had worse than my chest scarred up. I'd have been on a slab in a neighborhood morgue.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you five nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The Baseball Announcer, was written by Ted Sherdeman and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Andy Griffith. Our stars were Robert Towers and Frank Campanella. Featured in the cast were Frank Nelson, Byron Kane, Sidney Miller, Jerry Hausner, Barney Phillips, and Corey Burton. The music for Radio Theater was composed and conducted by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Radio Theater is a presentation of CBI.
This is Vincent Price. Join us tomorrow. I'll have another story to astonish and mystify you.